You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful planet we call Earth, thanks for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. And some of you are joining us for the very first time. Welcome aboard. We're glad to have you. I hope you make a habit out of it. It's a great habit to get into. Lots of folks have the habit. And if you've just got to be addicted to something, well, it's a good one to have. Before the show, I had a picture up, and it was a picture of three of my grandchildren, and they are the ones who are old enough to stay up and watch, and they're watching tonight. And what? Oh, I see. You didn't get tuned in. You didn't tune in soon enough to see that. Well, I'd hate for you to miss it, so let me do that again. I'm not a proud granddad, am I? Three beautiful kids, and they're staying up watching tonight. That one is Carson, and boy, I'll tell you, she's just smart, really a smart kid. Here's Will, and let's see, it's taking a little while for it to come up. There it is. All dressed up to be in the Christmas pageant, and here's another one of his costumes coming up here. Yeah, smart kid. They're staying up watching Grandpa tonight. That's their uncle, my son, Derek, and he's in school today. So while I speak, he's in school on the other side of the planet. But great kids all, and I've got two granddaughters that are not old enough to be up watching, so they'll get their turn here in a couple of more years, and they can stay up and watch Grandpa. So to all my grandkids, I'm glad you're watching. Folks, there is disturbing news coming out of NASA. Disturbing news, I tell you. And that news has to do with whether NASA is even going to survive or not. I don't agree with everything NASA does, the way they do it, but I certainly agree that we need NASA. And we're going to be talking about some of this information in just a bit. We have a break coming up, but we have to dive into this. We've got to think about this. And we need to express our views to the people that we've just elected. America without a NASA, I think, is an America that is admitting it's over. Space really is the final frontier, and we really do need a healthy, hearty, invigorated NASA. We don't need to be thinking about and talking about NASA closing down. NASA without a manned space mission, without a manned space capability, it may as well be NASA closed down. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We had some audio difficulties there at the beginning. We were working on them, but the show had to go on. I apologize for that. But for those of you who were not able to hear me, I want to tell you that those pictures you saw of those beautiful, wonderful children are my grandkids. And they're getting to stay up and watch Grandpa work again tonight, and that's a good thing. So, again, if they were not able to hear, let me say to Will, to Carson, and Brenna, I'm glad you're getting to watch tonight. All right, let's talk about this thing with NASA. I mentioned that in the top of the show. For those of you who could hear, some of you could, some of you couldn't. The deal is NASA may not survive. NASA, in fact, may be sort of on its way out. Now, here's what this is all about. As you know, we have just elected a new president. He is not the president yet. We're in the phase that is called transition. And during this phase, he appoints people that he wants to be in his cabinet, and they begin to they sort of began to get their feet wet in whatever it is that they're going to be doing. And they began to get up to speed so that when the president-elect is sworn in at his inauguration and actually then becomes the president, the wheels will already be turning. They will already be, hopefully, up to speed on what it is they have been appointed to do. And there is a person who has been appointed by President-elect Obama to be in charge of heading up relations with NASA, I guess is the best way to say it. And her name is Lori, and I believe that's pronounced Garver. Now, Lori Garver is I believe, former assistant administrator at NASA. And she sent a list of 74 questions over to NASA. And all of these had to do with costs and cost overruns. Now, I'm not opposed to that at all. I'm not opposed to the idea that we need to get a handle on costs and cost overruns. Personally, on cost overruns, I think, you know, if a company bids that they're going to build something for the government or they're going to supply it to the government and they bid a price, and they get the contract, they should be required by law and by force of law by the courts to deliver that product for that price. I've never understood how, you know, you can bid something for $20 million. You get the contract, and then somehow you're able to bring the product to the government. Once you get it built, you deliver it to the government, and it's not $20 million. It has grown to, you know, $750 million. And the government pays. They just write the check and pay it. I don't understand that, and I'm opposed to that. I think if you are a government contractor and you bid to provide a product or a service, and there you put a dollar amount in the bid, and you get the contract based on your capabilities and the dollar amount. I think by law you should be required to deliver that product at that price. And that would be, you know, if we did that, that certainly would cause these companies to be a little more honest in their bidding and not just think, well, I, you know, we'll, that company A over there, they're bidding $50 million, so we're going to bid it at $30 million. No, you will bid it at what it's really going to cost you to do it. But anyway, and I think that that's a change that needs to happen, and it needs to happen, maybe 50 years ago. But anyway, I'm not opposed to questions about costs and cost overruns. That's not an issue. I'm not opposed to that at all. But apparently, the administrator down at NASA, Michael Griffin, and this Lori Garver got into sort of kind of a heated debate. And part of it is because Michael Griffin says that Lori Garver sort of branded him as a liar by questioning the agency's financial calculations. In other words, he took the questions as being a challenge to his honesty and a challenge to the honesty of NASA. I don't think so. Personally, I don't. I mean, I didn't see the questions, so I don't know how these questions were phrased. But simply questioning the calculations is certainly not questioning the honesty of those people. It's called doing due diligence and oversight, and that's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to do due diligence and oversight. And so I'm certainly not opposed to that. However, it's the reports are that he told Lori Garver that she did not have the engineering qualifications to make judgments about the future of the Constellation program, and NASA confirmed that he did say that. That he told her, you don't have the engineering qualifications to be making judgments about the future of the Constellation program. The Constellation program, of course, is what is supposed to replace the shuttle program. Now, we're already going to have a lapse. The shuttle program will come to an end before the Constellation program is scheduled to be rolled out, and that means that the United States, for the first time since the beginning of the Mercury program, will not have the capability of putting men in space. We simply will not have the capability of putting astronauts into space. And so we will have to depend upon the Russian Soyuz program to ride back and forth between Earth and the International Space Station. But that lapse was only supposed to be for a couple of years, 5 years at the most, and then we would be able to fly in space again with the Constellation program. Apparently, there has been a suggestion by Ms. Garver that NASA take a look at using the Delta rockets, and I had it marked, but I don't see it. Maybe some other military rockets that are used. And Michael Griffin said, "Look, you know, NASA looked at that. And we rejected that idea because they're simply not safe enough for manned spaceflight. They're simply not safe enough for manned spaceflight. And so we're not going to use those. We have to build rockets that are built for manned spaceflight. And so that's what the big debate is about. And, you know, I really like the idea that the debate is going on. I like the idea that someone in government is looking at NASA and saying, okay, you say it's going to cost this much. Prove it. You say it's going to cost this much for this thing. Prove that. We want to see the proof of the calculations, not just the end bottom line dollar amount. And we're, you know, we're concerned about that. We're concerned about the cost overruns. So I'm glad somebody's looking at that. At the same time, I think it's very important that those people who are looking at it understand that, you know, NASA in a way is between a rock and a hard place here. And the reason that NASA's between a rock and a hard place is because if they send something up there, another manned craft that explodes and astronauts are killed, I mean, we've already had way too much of that. We had that in the Apollo program with the spacecraft setting on the launch pad, and they had a flash fire inside and killed three astronauts. We had that almost with Apollo 13 when there was an explosion on board, and now, of course, it's a movie, and the famous line, Houston, we have a problem. But fortunately, NASA was able to get those astronauts back to Earth alive and well. And that was both a great disaster, but also a great triumph for NASA, because they were able, with some very, very meticulous calculations and engineering and thinking outside the box, they got those people back. And that's just one of their finest moments. And then we've had the shuttle disasters where we've had shuttles that exploded, and one on launch and one on reentry. And, you know, and so what happens, whenever that happens, the public says to NASA, and all the senators who cut the budget say to NASA, you know, you guys are going to be investigated, and we're going to see if there's any criminal activity here, and blah, blah, blah. And so we really run them through the ringer if something goes wrong. And so now here we've got an administrator saying to the upcoming administration, wait a minute, guys, you know, you're talking about making cuts and changes here that will endanger lives. We looked at using those military rockets, but they're just not reliable enough, safe enough to put humans on and ride them off into space. We have to develop and engineer rockets that are safer than that and more reliable than that. So we've got, you know, some dynamic tension going on here. And I think that's a good thing. I think that tension needs to be there. I think NASA needs to have to account for every penny. And I think those cost overruns have got to stop. Now, I know there are people that say, well, you'll never be able to stop the cost overrun. Sure you can. Sure you can. All that has to happen is for the government to change the laws having to do with government contracts, change those laws, and say to those who are going to bid on government contracts, either be honest with us or go to prison. You tell us what it's really going to cost. Tell us the truth up front, and we'll take the best bid. But by golly, when we give you a contract, when you win the contract, you are under penalty of law to deliver on that contract for the price you bid. So if you bid, you know, $2 billion for something and you get the contract, you're going to bring that contract in. You're going to bring it in at cost at what you bid. That needs to happen. You know, the government is responsible for its pockets being picked. the government created the rules, and the government can change the rules. And I think they need to do that. Now, you may think, oh, it's a better thing if we just get rid of NASA. That may be what your opinion is. I know Richard Hoagland has been here on the show, and Richard Hoagland said NASA needs to be scrapped and we need to come up with something entirely new, entirely different to do our space program. That may be what happens. I don't know. But I do know that it is highly important for us as a nation that we have not just a space program, but a manned space program. Because a manned space program extends you and me out beyond the confines of this planet and its atmosphere. Look, you can send all the probes you want over to Mars, but until you put men on Mars who can describe what they're seeing and film what they're seeing and discern and interpret and use human judgment, we're never really going to know what's on Mars. Sometimes people say, well, who cares? I mean, you know, we don't really need a manned space mission. We can send probes. We don't have to have a manned space mission. Who really cares? Well, I think it's important. Look, the things that have to be developed for a probe to go over to Mars don't necessarily help you and me. But the things that have to be developed in order for humans to be able to go from here to Mars and to land on Mars and then to be able safely to return, all those things that have to be developed, all the science involved that has to be developed to send humans over there eventually makes its way to the marketplaces here, and they help us and they make our lives a lot better. I've mentioned this before. I've mentioned before that you know, all of us use a microwave. I got to tell you, if you can't microwave it, Kevin doesn't eat it. I live, or I would die, by the microwave. I can turn on a stove. I know how to build a campfire if I need to, but I don't need to right now. And so I use a microwave. Just about everyone who's listening to me uses a microwave. And that was developed for NASA for manned spaceflight. But now it's in all our homes. It has helped us. And the list goes on and on and on and on. The things that have been developed for NASA are the things that have been developed by NASA that are now being used for us and by us all the time. Now, the telephone line is open, 602-539-9580. We're just seconds from, well, we're into a break. I'll start taking your calls right after this. Welcome back. The telephone line is open, 602-539-9580, 602-539-9580. I'd like to know, this is open line, we will talk about anything you want to talk about, as long as it isn't politics, but I would like to know, what is your take on this thing with the possibility that NASA may be pretty much out of business. And in fact, I've got a report, this one from a newspaper in the UK, and it says NASA's future in doubt as space agency marks Moon Mission, Moon Mission Anniversary. The 40th anniversary of NASA's first manned mission to the moon is being overshadowed by doubts over the future of its space program. So give me a call, 602-539-9580. Maybe you think that's a good thing. Maybe you think that NASA ought to go out of business. Or maybe you think that that's a bad thing and that NASA should continue to be supported. And I see we're still having some audio problems. It's jumping all over the place. But anyway, at least you got audio, huh? So what's the deal? Do you think that NASA ought to be put out of business? If things go like these two news reports read, then NASA's not going to be able to do the Constellation program. And the Constellation program is the program that is supposed to return us to the moon and then on to Mars. And it's what is going to replace the space shuttle. And if NASA gets put under, let's put it this way. If the Constellation program gets put under, it's already underway. There are people already designing and building this thing. And so if it loses its funding and it gets put under, then we are out of the manned space business. Meanwhile, you've got China and Russia. Russia's still in the manned space business. You've got China and Russia in the manned space business. China has now flown three manned missions. They've done one spacewalk outside the vehicle. And we're talking about the possibility of being out of it. Do you think that's smart? You think that's a good thing? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry. What do you think about all this?
Pardon me?
What do you think about all that?
You know, this kind of ties into another thing I thought about from your last guest you had on Friday, and that, you know, he says that, you know, they can see us fighting up above there. You know, and I know if it's not somebody else with that kind of technology that's protecting us, and that we actually have that kind of technology, not only is NASA a waste of money and time, so is our entire naval fleet, submarines, you name it. Because if we got stuff, you know, that we can put any place in the world, you know, within minutes to defend or attack some place, you know, just think of the trillions of dollars we're talking here. That we could, you know.
Well, we're talking $17 billion per year for NASA. $17 billion per year. And we just did $750 billion for banks.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going along with the idea. I mean, yeah, I'd like to see, you know, if everything's square and we don't have anything else better. You know, I'm going to be quite upset to find out, you know, they roll away NASA plan, you know, and then all of a sudden they pop up with a flying saucer and say, oh, see, look what we got, you know, and we wasted these billions of dollars. You know, you don't need an aircraft carrier sitting in the Gulf. You don't need, you know, all this money. If we have that kind of technology, you know, and the other countries don't, I mean, we already, game over. We've won, you know. What I'm saying.
Yeah. Now, Terry, let me ask you a question. Let's say, let's go with what you're suggesting. That, you know, if we really have all that super space technology that we hear about, and there's really no way of knowing for sure right now that we do, but let's say we do. And then we, because of that, we don't really need a Navy and we don't need an Air Force with aircraft carriers fighter jets and so forth. We don't need any of the conventional stuff. If that's the case, then you pretty well could close down the military. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, if we, if we're fighting, them ships are ours, and we're mm-hmm. fighting outer space, and that kind of technology. I mean, we don't need our nuclear sites on America. We don't need our nuclear submarines, et cetera, because these things could, if we could put these, an army of these things, anywhere on the planet of the Earth within a half hour or whatever. Why?
Well, I understand what you're saying. What would you do with all the people that are in our military if you shut it down?
Well, our
military, they can't go to work at GM.
We would still need some standing force, because I'm sure, like what you say, the air, we can do enough damage to put you out of commission, but you're always going to need feet on the ground. So, in that aspect, we'll still have some kind of standing army, and means to get them from there and back, and also to protect our borders. And
they're never going to do that. They don't protect our borders today. They're not going to protect our borders tomorrow. It's not in the core morality or ethics of the people that we have sent to Washington to protect our borders.
Yeah, that's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That's just my thought. I mean, if we're that far along, but yet they're still spending trillions of dollars, making new aircraft carriers and submarines and all this stuff, it just doesn't jive, if they're building something new, they should by now have something, that is 100 times better than the shuttle, at least, to keep the program going.
Well, I'm not sure that, let's say that we've got that super high-tech space stuff that we all hear about. Let's say we've got it. I don't think they're going to bring it out of the shadows to be running back and forth over to the International Space Station. I think they're going to keep it secret.
I think if we got it, it's just like, if we have it and we don't show it or use it, why should we have it?
Well, good question. Let's see what everybody else thinks about that, too. Terry, thanks for the call, man.
Sure, Kevin. Bye.
All right, folks. The telephone line is yours, all right? All you have to do is dial 602-539-9580, 602-539-9580. What do you think about all of that? I don't know. When I ask those questions, that doesn't mean I have answers to them. It means what you said made me think of questions. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Trey in Louisiana.
Hi, Trey.
Hey, Kevin. Before I say something, I want to announce to everybody I found on the Internet Movie Database, IMDb. It's a movie. It's called 2012, and it's supposed to come out in 2009. And says, with the Mayan calendar ending in 2012, a large group of people must deal with natural disasters such as volcanic eruptions, typhoons, and glaciers. And it's got John Cusack, Woody Harrelson, Danny Glover, Oliver Platt. So it's got some pretty big name stars. So this might be a big time production in the kind of like an Independence Day or Star Wars. But they do have some pretty big time actors in it. So anyway, that's something I just saw.
All right, the movie has not come out yet?
No, it says 2009 next to it, and it's got a really long list, and it says in production or anything, but it's got down there 2009 next to it, like that's when it's supposed to come out. So anyway, that means they're making it now or doing whatever to it now. And the director is Roland Emmerich. I've never heard of him. But anyway, it says... That's something I was wondering if they were going to make a movie about it, and sure enough, I figured if they did, it would be some science fiction channel original with, you know, nobody in it, a bunch of, you know, old, washed-up, desperate actors. But
you're so generous.
No offense to them.
What is an old, washed-up, desperate actor? Like somebody like me?
Well, no, it's the ones that that make these science fiction original movies, you know, like Boa versus and things like that.
I see.
You know. About the space program, I think if they're wanting more money for something that's supposed to be better, then this is, you know, something new to show us. I don't buy that what we've got, what we've seen, is what we have, because everything else has evolved technology-wise, and you would think the one thing that would really be progressing would be space flight, if anything, even though it might be harder. You figure more scientific breakthroughs would come through it. So, I mean, I don't
Well, here's the deal. Whatever they have developed, and we don't know, really, if the military has developed these super top-secret space vehicles that we hear about. I mean, we hear about them, but we don't know for sure, okay? But you can bet one thing, if they have, whatever has been developed along the way to make that possible isn't getting down into the public like the microwave did.
That's true. No.
And NASA is a conduit for science, at really advanced science, to get to us, for things for us to use to make our lives better. And our lives are immeasurably easier now as a result of things that were developed and discovered for NASA spaceflight. And while I am critical of some things about NASA, I am a champion for NASA in that regard, in that so much of the advanced science that's been developed for them has come to us in products and services that we use and that make our lives a lot easier. I can tell you right now, when I cook, it's a matter of pushing numbers on the microwave. That's how I cook. Hey, we're into a break. Thanks for the call.
All right, Kevin.
All right, bye. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. This is Open Line Live, and I've been sharing with you some information, sort of disturbing information out of NASA. Actually, about NASA, not necessarily out of NASA, but about NASA. Information that says that maybe NASA isn't going to make it. All right? And I'd like to know what you think about all of this. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, it's Doug up here buried in 10 feet of snow, minus 40 degrees. My Lord, what's the world coming to with this global warming? How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Doug. Yeah, the global warming.
Oh, my Lord, Kevin, I tell you, we got dumped on here in the last couple of days as it has been affecting the rest of the continent, Canada, the country of Canada. I know it's hitting you guys down south. I hope it's not hitting you guys too hard.
Well, I'll tell you what, and you're going to hate me when I tell you this, Doug, but I got to do this. It's been about 60 degrees outside today. It's been a beautiful day. Just before showtime, we heard some voices outside, so I looked out. I'm in an area just beyond an apartment swimming pool, and I looked out, and over in that apartment swimming pool, there were people swimming.
All right, Kevin, I just stroked you off my Christmas list. you were there. You were there. You were right at the top, too.
Well, I'm sorry, man. What can I say? That's the way it is. However, let me say this. In when we get to August, you know, July, August, September, right here will be just like being in the northeast suburbs of hell.
Well, I hope so.
Doug, you're not right. You know that?
Kevin.
You're just not right. Well, what's on your mind this evening?
Well, you're going on about NASA and them getting their funds cut. And the interesting thing about this, I find, is that who do we lean on then for the partial lies and truths for, you know, the what's going on out there if NASA's not there? Are we gonna depend on China and Russia?
Well, we still have the Air Force. And we still have, let's see, the CIA and the FBI both saying they're not interested in UFOs.
Well, of course not. They don't want to admit nothing here.
I mean, the cast of spinners, you know, people that spin the information, and then there's the mass media, which is really more like the mass maniacs, but we've got them. So, you know, we're not out of business.
Not yet, no.
Not yet.
Not yet. I was talking to the Michael, the affiliate who deals with night vision goggles of
Grimsley.
Grimsley, yes. And he informed me that if I wanted to get a hold of that kind of technology, I'm looking at about 7 Gs, and I would have to get it from a Norwegian supplier, believe it or not.
Is that right?
Unbelievable. Yeah, the stuff I can get in the United States won't make it across the border because I guess they think I'm going to smuggle in some UFOs or something. I don't know.
Yeah, you might. You might.
It's just crazy. Just crazy stuff. But anyways, Kevin, you're doing a great job. I just thought I'd say hello from the Great White North here. We're under, I swear to God, Kevin, last night was a hell of a storm. We're up to about 12-foot snow banks here. I spent 4 hours cleaning out my drive and my neighbor's drives with my snowblower built in the USA. Thank you very much.
How'd you get that across the border?
There you go. I smuggled it in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways, hey, Kevin, sent you a PM there. I'd like to get that logo there for my site there for the chat room and all the other good stuff there. Get in touch with me soon. Don't forget, people, if you join our chat room there, I am going to be giving you 10. I'll be giving you a coffee mug of the Kevin Smith Show here, Big Al's coffee mug here. We're over on Pal Talk.
Outstanding. Kevin. Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate it. All right. That's Doug in Canada, and Doug is the moderator of the Kevin Smith Show Pal Talk Room. So there are people who go, you know, they're on Pal Talk, and they listen to the show there. The telephone number is 602-539-9580, 602-539-9580. I want to make clear now, NASA has not gotten their funding axed. This is, they still have their funding right now. But this is all about the transition to the new administration. And the person in that transition team who is asking questions of NASA is Lori Garver. And this is, you know, apparently there has been some fireworks between Garver and Michael Griffin, who is the NASA administrator. And he doesn't think that she ought to be asking the questions she's asking. I think she should, but I think NASA should not get the axe. What do you think about it? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin?
Yeah.
This is Brent from Wyoming.
Ah, Brent, how are you this evening?
Just fine. I had to hit the mute button. Okay. Now, what my opinion, I'm just going to put this up and let's see what you think.
All right.
If they want to dissolve the United States, the first thing they've got to do is get rid of some of the things that bind us together. NASA is one of those things.
I had not thought of that. I had not thought of that, Brent. There are people, and I want to see what you think about this, Brent. Okay. There are people, very high, powerful, famous people, who believe that in order for us to have world peace, we've got to have a one-world government. The first huge champion of that in the United States was a guy by the name of Mortimer Adler during World War II. And he's very famous. And he's the one who in Chicago started something called the Fat Man's Club. And they were all about world government. And those people are behind and members of the organizations we've all heard of, the Council for Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, and their goal can only happen when there is not a United States of America. And so you're saying that if NASA gets the axe, maybe that's what's behind it. Am I correct?
That's one possibility. It's just something I put out there.
Well, I had not thought of that. That's what living in Wyoming does for you, Brent. It'll make you think that way.
Makes you think outside the box.
It does make you think outside the box. By the way, thank you for those promos that you provided us. And the rest of you who said you were going to do promos, we're waiting. Put your camera out there and turn it on and just do what Brent did. Just talk to your camera and then send it to me, okay? Brent, thanks.
Yep, bye.
All right, bye-bye. Yeah, well, I had not considered that possibility. Not at all. 602-539-9580 is the number. The telephone line is open, and we would love to hear from you. What do you think about this? I think NASA is important to the future of the United States of America. I think it's important for science. I think it's important not just for science out in space, but it's important for science right here on the surface of good old terra firma. And I don't want to see NASA get the axe. Think of things like the Hubble Space Telescope. Would there be a way to launch the Hubble Space Telescope without NASA? Well, yeah. Would there be a way to go up there and service it? No. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Steve calling from Anaheim.
Hi, Steve.
How you doing?
Very well, sir. I'll tell you what, we have a break that's just about to take over. Can you hang on through the break?
You got it.
All right. Go ahead with what you were going to say, but the break may catch you.
Okay, my thought is, I heard about that guy that got caught, hacking the NASA websites and all that, all the files, and he said that we had a space navy. What do you think about that? I mean, if they axed the NASA program or they cut back, we already have stealthy things in space, why would we need the ancient shuttles?
Well, we don't need the ancient shuttles, and we're getting rid of them.
Right.
And the Constellation program is the replacement for the shuttles. And the shuttle will be no more after, I think, 2009. I think that's it. 2010, somewhere along there.
Can you shed some light on the... I haven't heard of that yet.
Yep. I'll do that right after the break. Do you want to hang on, or do you want to just hear it off air?
I'll hang on.
All right, you hang on, and we'll be back with you in a little bit. All right, folks, right after this. And we are back, and... caller, tell me your first name again.
Steven.
All right, Steven, you mentioned, I believe you're talking about Gary McKinnon.
Right.
And Gary McKinnon said that when he hacked into the U.S. military computers, he found information that talked about our space fleet and transfers of personnel from ship to ship with our space fleet.
Right.
Well, I'm not really, I mean, that's a fascinating concept, and he may, that may be absolutely true, but I'm not prepared to believe that McKinnon's telling us the truth. And the reason I'm not prepared to do that is because Gary McKinnon says that the only reason that he hacked in was because he wanted to look for UFO information, right?
Right.
But he left messages all through those computers for 2 years while he was hacking, stating he left messages for them so they would know for sure he had been there, stating that he opposed U.S. foreign policy and that basically we were a bunch of really bad people. And so long as we continued our acts of aggression around the world, he was going to continue hacking. He said absolutely nothing in these messages about anything having to do with UFOs, but he left those throughout those computers. And he didn't just look around. He actually messed up a bunch of stuff having to do with the logistics where we supply ships at sea and troops on the ground.
Well, see, I didn't know that, and I don't think a lot of people even touch base on that.
He did do that, and because that is the truth, and then McKinnon, he didn't mention anything about that when he's crying to the press and when he's crying to the courts. He didn't mention anything about that. He just talks about UFOs, and then he talks about we've got a space fleet. I'm not prepared to believe a word Gary McKinnon says. He's been caught publicly, openly lying. And because he's been caught lying, I can't believe anything else he has to say.
Right, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I tend to agree with you on that. Can you tell me about the Constellation program, the one you mentioned?
The Constellation program is has been described as the Apollo program on steroids.
Wow.
If you can imagine the Apollo capsule, it was built to house or to contain three astronauts. The Constellation will hold seven. And so it's huge. It is just massive. The rocket that it will take to launch this thing and to send them to the moon dwarfs the Saturn V rocket. And in fact, one of the big problems, engineering problems that they've had, is that it generates so much vibration that it will, they estimate, if they can't cancel out all that vibration, and it's so intense, that it will kill the astronauts. And so they have come up with some, if you will, shock absorbers that will attenuate the vibration. Have you ever seen any video that's taken from inside a space shuttle during launch?
Yes, it's all shaky and they're, yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you max that and say maybe 100 times more, that's what they're dealing with.
Do we have any photos or any news where we can get more information on the program itself?
There are photos. If you go over to the NASA website, you can see photos of the drawings of what it's supposed to look like, and then you can see photos of various stages of development, you know, where they're actually building it.
Right, because I know they keep building the space station, and they keep adding more and more components and what have you, and different type things. So I know that's getting bigger and bigger. I haven't seen a full picture of that yet. I'd like to see something like that, too, because I don't know how big it is now.
Yeah, NASA on the NASA. Go over to NASA.gov, and you should be able to see photos of that as well. I'll tell you something. One of the things people say, well, you know, the space station, you know, what are they doing there? Well, I don't know really what they do in there, but one of the things that has been ongoing has been the medical studies of astronauts living for extended periods of time in space. And, you know, it takes years to do medical studies. But that's part of the ongoing science that's been happening in preparation for going to Mars.
Right, I heard that. I also heard that they have done some growing some plants up there and stuff like that with, you know, what do they call it? Something like hydroponics or something.
Yeah. Yeah, there's been a ton of science developed out of the space station with reference to and with a view to going to Mars. And, you know, it's not as glamorous as, hey, we're walking on the moon. It's not as glamorous as that. But it's very necessary science in order for us to do an extended space flight over to Mars. You know, once they get there, it's going to take a long time to get back. You know, they're estimating that it's close to a two-year mission.
2 years up and 2 years back?
No. Probably only 6 months travel time and then 6 months travel time back. But you can't just go around Mars and come right back, because Mars has to be in the right position relative to Earth. See, it's moving at the same time we're moving. So it's in its orbit at the same time we're having our orbit. And, you know, there's you can't just kind of go do a loop and come back. You've got to go, and you got to be able to survive over there for a while, for several months, before you can do the launch back to Earth.
Imagine the supply it would take just to get there and stay there for a while.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, and then there's this. You know, they cannot. It's impossible for them to carry enough water to last for that whole mission. You could not launch that amount of water.
Right. Is that why they were doing the recycling of the urine?
Well, yeah, that's part of it. Part of it is also the recycling of the urine is part of what will have to happen on Mars, but also looking for sources of water on Mars. It's not just, you know, if there's water, then maybe there used to be life there. Yeah, that's true, but if there's water ice that can be melted, then you've got drinking water and you've possibly got fuel, because if you crack that oxygen and hydrogen, you've got fuel. So, I mean, there's a lot of really, really intricate science and it is very advanced science that has to happen for us to get to Mars. We have the technology right now. If we just wanted to get to Mars, we could put somebody on in a little capsule on top of one of these rockets that they launch satellites with.
How far do you think how close are we actually to this? Do we still think we're a few years away, or we think?
Well, an actual manned mission?
Yeah.
2030. Okay. That's the date they're shooting for. Because they've got to not only get all this technology going, they've got to find a place that has water ice, and that water ice, they've got to be able to determine, is not toxic, doesn't have something in it that will kill the astronauts. And so they're going to have to do several landings in places where there's ice and drill down into it and melt some of it and analyze it and come up with, you know, this is a place where they could make it. And, you know, whatever source of water they find, they will have to adjust the technology that they send with the astronauts. They'll have to adjust it so that it can purify that that water that they find.
But in 20 years, don't you think we'd have something like a powdered water or something 10 times its weight or something? Something.
How would you turn powdered water into liquid?
I don't know.
Water is going to be the most important thing to find on Mars. Now, have they found water? Yeah, they have found water. They have. But they've got to find water in good landing sites, and then they have to analyze that water, whether it's ice or liquid. They say there's no liquid water on Mars, and I say there is. Their pictures, as far as I'm concerned, say there is. But, you know, they have to analyze it, and then they have to come up with some sort of filtration system that will work.
It's got to be really younger, well-trained, and fittest of the fittest, I guess you'd call that.
I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure they're going to have to be young. In fact, you may want to send the older guys.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever seen the movie Space Cowboys?
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, they may need to do that for the first mission or two because it may be a no-return mission.
Oh, that sounds awful.
Well, I mean, you know, they'll be doing something that has never been done, as far as we know. And if anything goes wrong, it can be lights out, you know, for a return trip.
Listen, I wanted to say thank you for taking my call, and I listen to your show as much as possible, and your show's coming in really good now. I see you, and it looks great.
Yeah, the video's much better now, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Now, is this the first time you've called us, Stephen?
Yeah, the first time I've called. I tried calling different times before, and I tried using a Skype once. But that was just a nightmare. So.
Yeah, Skype, I never could get that to work right with our sound system. First-time callers get some applause, so there you go. Glad you called.
Appreciate that. But you look great. Everything looks fantastic. We appreciate you out here.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
All right. Oh, very interesting stuff, huh? Very interesting stuff. There's a whole lot that has to happen in order for there to be a successful mission to Mars. Again, you could just put somebody in a capsule on top of one of these rockets that we send satellites over to Mars. You could do that, but they couldn't survive it. They wouldn't, I mean, the capsule would get there. They wouldn't survive it. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Boomer calling from BC.
Hi, Boomer.
How you doing today?
Outstanding.
Good. One thing I want to say about NASA, if they close their doors, it's going to be one sad day for the good old USA.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And, if they cancel the Constellation program, it will be, because that is the replacement for the shuttle. The shuttle has only got, what, two more flights?
I think maximum two more flights.
Yeah, and then it's over, the shuttle. In fact, NASA's already looking to auction off the remaining shuttles. You know, if $42 million a piece, I think, is what they want for them. So if you've got a spare $42 million laying around and a place to put a shuttle, you can buy one. But you cannot buy night vision.
That's right. Anyways, that's what I was calling about, Kevin. Doug there that called earlier,
mm-hmm.
I should give my phone number and he can call me directly. There's a lot to know about them before purchasing them.
Are you sure you want to give your phone number out over the air?
Well, I will as long as people respect, call me at, Pacific time at, between noon and 6 p.m. or something.
Well, you can't count on that. If you give that phone number out, people will call you when they decide to. And so, I think the best thing is for you to send it to me, and anybody that wants it, I will email it to them.
Okay, I'll do that then.
Yeah, now, it's up to you, but, my personal telephone number doesn't go out over the air, and that's the reason. Because this show is heard in 95 countries, and if somebody it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon where they are, and it's midnight where you are, you don't want to get the call.
Yeah, good point. Well, what I'll do, I'll email you my number, and you know, you can pass it on.
Yeah, I'll be glad to do that.
Thanks, Kevin. Great show. I love it.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Telephone number is 602-539-9580, 602-539-9580, and the telephone line is open. It is open line live, and we will talk about whatever you wish to talk about. Maybe you don't want to talk about NASA. Maybe you want to talk about something else, and that's entirely up to you. As long as it's not politics, we'll go for it. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Sorry, Kev. It's Doug calling back again. Thank you again to the last caller for that information. Thank you, thank you. Kevin, I'm asking you quickly here. You were, I believe, donated by Ed Grimsley some DVDs, apparently, on his research.
Yeah.
Now, I don't find them on your website. Is there a way to do that?
So well, let me tell you. I had intended over the weekend to get that up, but here's what happened. And I'll try to get it up tonight on my website. But what happened was I had, you know, we have members. We have a members area. And I had several members that were complaining about the video and that, you know, they just wish we could, you know, go ahead and do whatever we got to do to make that happen and get it upgraded. And I can tell you that it's not just a matter of putting in some software and it'll do it for you. It's very, very meticulous coordination between four different programs, a tiny adjustment here, a tiny adjustment. It took a long time. Then, I'm sorry?
Is this downloading it from your site, or is this actually buying the DVDs?
No, I'm talking about the video feed that we're doing right now, the TV.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm talking about Ed Grimsley's.
Yeah, but I'm telling you now what is the holdup. So I had to tend to what the members were complaining about with the video, which meant I could not I didn't have the time to update our K-Pods. So we got several days behind on the K-Pods, and people started complaining about that while I was trying to get the video upgraded. And then, over the weekend, I had to tend to getting all of the K-Pods entered and uploaded, and that took up all the time. I didn't have time to get the Ed Grimsley link on the site. So that's been done now, and the next thing up is to get the Ed Grimsley link up on the site.
Excellent. I'll be looking forward to it, Kevin.
Okay. Thanks for the call.
It takes a lot of work for what you do.
Well, people don't think about it, but and they can't imagine what I could possibly do for 20 hours a day, but I work 20 hours a day. When you see one of those commercial breaks on your video, on our internet TV station, when you see a commercial break, that commercial break is a total of about 4 minutes and a half, something like that, and those take up to 2 hours to produce. And there's six of those. And they have to be changed every day.
I know you put a lot of effort into what you do here, Kevin, and I, as one, do appreciate it, and I will contribute as much as I can. Folks, get on that site there and make a donation. Kevin works his butt off to bring you this demand.
Thank you, Doug. I appreciate it.
Gotcha.
All right. 602-539-9580, 602-539-9580. For those of you who are new and you're not aware of how this works, the telephone system, if you call and there's no one on there, it puts you on hold, okay? And you'll begin to hear the show. The second one that calls gets put on hold and hears music. After that, you get a recording that says that, I think it says this number is not working at this time or something like that. It just means that the line's full. That's all it means. All right? That's all it means. It means the lines are full. So you hit redial and keep trying, and you will eventually get through. I have had folks complain and say, well, that's ridiculous. I call and call and call and I can't get in. Well, if you could get in every time, the first time you call, that means the show is not popular and no one else is calling, right? So 602-539-9580. Now, the story about NASA having some question about the future of their funding is kind of disturbing, really, and I applaud those who are doing the oversight, those who are getting ready to do the oversight. I applaud them for asking the questions. I think tough questions should be asked by everyone in government who is responsible for doing oversight. And I think, they really ought to be pinching pennies. But at the same time, when a cost is justified, and I think NASA is, it should happen. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, God, that's certainly sad news. I never thought I'd ever hear in my lifetime anything about NASA having a funding problem.
Well, they're not having a funding problem yet. What they're having is an argument between the NASA administrator and Lori Garver, who is the NASA person on the Obama transition team. And apparently some of her questions set Michael Griffin off. He's the administrator of NASA. Apparently some of her questions set him off and said, well, you're questioning our honesty or my honesty in the calculations. I don't see it that way. I think she should ask questions, but I think they should get their funding. Do you want to hang on during the break?
Yeah, why not?
All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and Bob, are you still with me?
Uh-huh.
All right. I'm having a senior moment.
Oh, we were talking about what was going on with NASA. It wasn't the funding, it was more kind of like some political arguments?
No, economic arguments.
Economic arguments.
Yeah, and apparently, Michael Griffin has sort of taken exception to the 74 questions that he was asked by Lori Garver, and he said to her, at least according to the newspaper reports or the news reports, he told her, "You don't have the engineering expertise or the engineering credentials to be making any judgments about the Constellation program." So it sounds as if they're getting off on a rather rocky footing right at the start here. And there's speculation in those news reports that NASA may have no future. And I don't think that's a good thing. I think it's a good thing to ask the questions, but I don't think it's a good thing for NASA to have no future or for them to have a severely scaled back future. I think they're getting $17 billion. I think we ought to double that, especially in light of the bonfire that we built out of cash and lit for this bailout. I think that NASA ought to get a double budget and told, forget that stuff about 2030, let's get on with this.
Yeah, that's absolutely amazing. It seems to me like NASA is like one of our only outlets when it comes to understanding any new science, because the government hides every single little thing in the name of defense, no matter what it is, it seems like. I mean, if it's science and it can help our country, oh, but there's got to be an economic thing somewhere or a defense thing somewhere, and it doesn't get out, and this agency is covering this. It almost seems like one foot in this country is walking one way, trying to solve one problem, and there's always another agency walking another way, and the next thing you know, we're always stumbling right in the same place where we were at, and nothing gets done. I mean, what
that
would we do
is
without
a
NASA?
Good analogy. One foot walking one direction and the other foot walking the other direction. Excellent analogy. That's true. NASA may be still using old rocket technology when they could be using new rocket technology. They may be covering up things that are on the moon and on Mars. All of that may be true. On the other hand, our lives are made immeasurably better by the discoveries and the developments for NASA and through NASA that make it down into the public.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know. The way the future of this country is looking kind of sketchy, I hope there's always a United States, because it's, well, at least it used to stand for something real, real incredible, and I guess it kind of does now, but it's really scary with all these secret things going. It used to be a scientist would find a vaccine for polio, you know, or something. It'd be out there for everyone to look at, and his papers would be out there. You know, now it's just everything's getting so hidden, it makes you have a bad taste in your mouth for what the future might be. I guess I'll just leave you guys with one thing. I don't know if this will help anybody out there and stuff, but with all these huge economic problems and everything, I happen to have been watching the manufacturing of anything in this country, like anything you want just being made over here. I've happened to watch it decline from like 100 to 10 in my lifetime. I mean, nothing can get done over here because we're always competing with China, and they don't pay their workers anything. I just wanted to say, if we wanted to remain our own country, and I don't think this is really politics, I think it's a single solution. If we raise tariffs on all the stuff coming in, we'd make a lot of money on it, and then our businesses here would be able to compete with things, and we'd be able to make things in America. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for the call. Yeah, manufacturing in the United States is on the endangered species list, or it certainly should be. And it should. We should pay attention to that. And for those, I can't help but do this. For those of you who think that if I say anything that's not about UFOs, oh, that's politics, and you can't understand the difference between global issues, and you can't understand the difference between that and politics, or the difference between the economy and politics, I would like to invite you to read the Encyclopedia Britannica about politics. Politics does touch almost everything we do in life, but that doesn't mean that everything we do in life is politics. You are aware that politics is now touching marriage, right? And marriage has been around since before there was politics. So, I mean, if you feel compelled to write me email and tell me that because I discussed this thing about NASA's economy, that that's politics, if you feel compelled to do that, please do two things. One, you can send me the email, but then after that, go get a life and read the Britannica about what is politics. NASA is important to us. NASA it's not a civilian space agency, but it's as close to one as we're going to get. And a great many things that NASA does benefit us all the time. A lot of the water filtration systems that you can buy were developed for space flight. or their spinoffs of the development for spaceflight. So some of you who, you know, you go and get a drink of water and you say, man, there's no way I would ever touch any tap water. It's got to go through that filter system before I would drink it. Thank you, NASA. A lot of the things that have been developed that keep people alive, okay, were developed with NASA technology. Along the way, as they're developing things for space, they develop things that get used in medical science. And so if you're alive today because of some of that, thank you, NASA. And if NASA goes out of business, what will be the shape of things to come? If NASA were to go out, if you cancel the Constellation program, NASA's pretty much out of business. The Constellation program is the next step in space exploration. Look, we went to the moon, and the next step after going to the moon, and I know some of you think we didn't go, some of you think we did, I understand all that, but the next step after the moon program was to build a space station and to put people in space for prolonged periods of time. And the purpose of putting them in space for prolonged periods of time was so that we could do all of the medical research. I mean, there's other science that goes on there, but the medical research, the psychological research, all of the stuff that's necessary in order to put someone in space long enough to get from here to Mars and from Mars back to here. Like I said, you could just build it. Have you ever seen, maybe you haven't. Look, a lot of the people that I'm talking to right now are younger, lots younger than me, and you don't remember the Mercury space program or the Gemini space program. You barely remember the later Apollo programs, maybe. Some of you have grown up and all you know is the shuttle. But the Mercury and Gemini program was this little, especially Mercury, was like a beer can on top of a rocket. And you had a guy sitting in there, an astronaut sitting in there by himself, and he's launched out into space. I mean, these guys really took some risk. Now, you could take one of those little beer cans and put a guy in it and set it on top of a rocket and shoot it off towards Mars, and could you get there? Yes, he could get there. Alive? No. And if he got there alive, could he return? No. The capability to get there and get back alive has not yet been built. And that's what's up with the Constellation program. That's what NASA's working on with the Constellation program. You have to have something that is not just a space vehicle, but a space ship. And this thing has to be a life support system for months for these guys to get over to Mars. And then, they land on Mars, and so there'll be a landing vehicle that goes down to Mars, and those guys have to be able to survive on Mars for months before they can take off, rejoin the Constellation spaceship, and fire the rockets and head back to Earth. And then it's months to come back to Earth. So that technology, I mean, that is really awesome, awesome technology. And it hasn't been invented yet. Even the Apollo program, if you assume that the Apollo program actually went to the moon, and I think we did, I know a lot of you think we didn't, but assume that it did, even that technology cannot take us to Mars. It's not capable of doing it. And so what we're talking about here is a development of whole new things in science that have never even been dreamed of, never even been thought of, ways of doing things that have never been tried, ways of thinking that have never been imagined. That's what we're talking about with a constellation program. And when you start talking about the possibility of canceling the constellation program, you start talking about the possibility of cutting their budget so that they can't do the constellation program. Maybe you don't say, okay, we're going to cut the constellation program. You just cut the dollars so they can't do it. When you do that, you're killing the space program for the United States of America. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, China and Russia are moving ahead, not backward. And they are planning to do a Mars mission. Are we in the race or not? We'll be back right after this. Right, we are on final approach here. We've only got a few minutes left, and the telephone line is open. We have time for one more call, maybe two. 602-539-9580, 602-539-9580. I do also want to remind you, if you have not subscribed to our weekly newsletter, you really should. I had one person that wrote in and said, you know, you talk about that so much that, I feel like you're trying to sell me something. I'm not trying to sell you something. I'm trying to give you something. It's free. All right? It's free. You just go to my website. The website is kevinsmithshow.com. kevinsmithshow.com. And then you'll get the K-Files e-zine, okay? You go there, and you'll see a little button that says K-Files e-zine. You click it. It's in red letters, hard to miss. K-Files e-zine. Click it, subscribe. You're going to receive a confirmation email where you have a link that you've got to click in order to activate your subscription. And then you'll start getting it every week. And I'm astounded every time I get one of those emails. And I'm not scolding anybody, but it astounds me. I'm trying to give you something. All right, it's free, F-R-E-E. The value of getting the K-Files e-zine is that, first of all, we put updates in there so you know what's going on. All right? We have people who are subscribers to our members area that will not subscribe to the free e-zine. Don't know why. And if they subscribe to the free e-zine, then they would know that the reason the K-Pods were not getting updated was because we had a lot of members complaining about the video, and I only have 24 hours a day. Now, in that 20, I work 20 of them, and in that 20, I have to do video production, I have to do audio production, I have to read and prepare for the show, I have to do the show. After the show, I have to do video editing, I have to do audio editing, and then in the time that's left over, I had to work on getting that video fixed where it would look good like it does now, which meant I didn't have time to update the K-Pods in response to members who wanted me to get the video done. All right, we got the video done. Then we got the K-Pods updated. Okay, now all of that was in the K-Files e-zine. And those of you who are members and you don't subscribe to the e-zine, you didn't know. And so you got torqued about, well, where are the K-Pods? If I could have put 2 more hours on every day and made it 26-hour days, so I got to get 4 hours sleep, I could have done the K-Pods. But alas, there are but 24 hours in the day, and but we put all that in the K-Files Easy. And so a lot of times when you I want you to send me email, and if you're concerned about something and you're not happy with something, I want you to send me that and tell me. I'm just telling you that most of that gets answered for you in the K-Files e-zine that comes out every week. The information is there. And so I encourage you to go over and click that link and subscribe so you will not be in the dark. So if I get like 20 or 30 emails, all of them asking about the same thing, and I've written about it in the K-Files e-zine, you can't reasonably expect I'm going to answer 30 emails on the same topic that we've already published the information about. All right? So subscribe to the K-Files e-zine. It's free. And plus, there are articles in there that are interesting articles, and you know, it takes you to other places on the web. There's always video links to take you to interesting videos to watch. There's always a free download in there. And sometimes it's, the free download may be something you've already got. But usually, I at least what I hear from people who receive it, it's stuff they haven't got. And so, it's a good easing. All right, the telephone number is still open, 602-539-9580. I think that NASA has problems. I think that NASA needs to be more transparent with the public. But having said that, I don't think it's a wise thing to cut their budget. I think it's a shame. It is an abomination that they only get $17 billion per year. And we're talking about one of the premier, not just a space agency, but one of the premier science agencies on the planet. These people dream things that have never been dreamt and then go after trying to engineer them, trying to invent them. And a lot of that makes it into the public, and we get the benefit of it. I think it's important for NASA to stay in business, and I think it's important not only that they stay in business, but that far from cutting their budget, the minimum that we ought to do is double their budget. However, having said that, I think people in the government that are in charge of looking over what NASA is doing need to ask tough, tough questions about every penny that gets spent. And they need to make sure that we are not getting ripped off by contractors. I still think that it would be a good thing for the laws to be changed having to do with government contracts, so that if you bid on a government contract and you get it, then you should be required by law to bring that product or service to the government at the price you bid. All that cost overrun, well, we had cost overruns, so they tack it onto the bill. That's got to stop, not just with NASA. But that's got to stop across the board. If you bid at a certain price, you got to make it happen at that price. That only makes sense. All the rest of the businesses in this country that let contracts out for bid have to live, they live with that bid number, with that bid price, and those who supply the products or services for those contracts have to do it at the price they bid. And I think it ought to be that way for government contracts as well. I don't think there's any excuse for having cost overruns and then being able to just bill that to the government. estimate it right, bid it right, and build it right. That's the way to go. And again, having said all of that, I think that those that watch over NASA and the expenditures at NASA should do so with a magnifying glass, with a microscope, but then give them the money they really need to really get this show on the road, and let's get this done. Let's get this manned mission to the moon and manned mission to Mars. Let's get this thing going ahead of schedule, not behind schedule. NASA has already had to bump the planned first flight of Constellation. They've already had to move it. They've already had to move the next Mars mission because of the expenditures. Let's get this thing done right. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.